Together, please. And this morning, we were looking at three aspects as a Christian. Sit, our new position. Walk, our new practice. And stand, our new power. This evening, we're going to be continuing on more looking a bit more at our walk as Christians. And this is going to be found in Ephesians in chapter 5. The title for this evening's message can be Our Walk, Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read from verses 1 through to 21. And then I'll give you the outline and we'll go into the message from there. Let's do something a little bit different this evening. Let's be upstanding, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 21. And the Word of God reads, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is accepted unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are approved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come before you this night, and we do thank you so much for your precious word, which is the living word, and what you have exalted above, the only thing that you have exalted above your name. And Lord, we do so much, as we always do, as we did this morning and always do, need your Holy Spirit's working, you're enabling, you're empowering. I pray that you would please empty me of myself, Lord, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that my speech and my preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom and demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Lord, you know that it is beyond man to bring people under conviction, that is your work. And Lord, if there be any here who do not yet know you as their personal Saviour and Lord, that you bring them under that conviction tonight. I pray that you would bring your word out clearly, Father, so that you'd help us to understand it, that we'll get some practicalities here about this new walk that we have since being saved. And I pray that you bring it home to us, Lord, that you would bless our hearts, that we feel built up and edified, Lord, rebuked if need be, wherever necessary, and that you would change us and make us more like our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, this night, for his glory and for his kingdom. And in his precious name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So outline tonight comes out of this chapter, out of chapter 5. Number 1, walk in love. Ephesians 5:2. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8, and walk circumspectly, Ephesians 5:15. Walk in love, 5:2, walk as children of light, 5:8, walk circumspectly, 5:15. Here we read the first two verses, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. And we see in the epistle of 1 John that God is love. And that is not that God is only love, but that is one of his attributes. Just as God is holy and God is righteous and God is many other things, God is all-knowing, all-powerful, God is love, a God of love. And once we are saved, God, by his Holy Spirit, wants to live through us and he wants us to walk in love and to be people who are filled with the love of God and to know the love of God and to have God living in us by his Spirit. And that is how we are to walk. We are to be followers of God as dear children and walk in love, in this spirit of love. And how exactly do we walk in love? We see here verse 2 says, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. So we see that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, that he is the standard for us. Not only is he our Saviour first and foremost, but also the standard for this new walk of love. And this is how we are to live. And this is how our lives are to be characterised. Our lives should be characterised by the love of God. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when ye have love one for another. And could not the spiritual temperature of a church be tested by what sort of a spirit is in that church? Is it a spirit of love? Is it a spirit of apathy? Is it a spirit of carnality? Is it a spirit of that of the Pharisee? Is it a carnal spirit? A liberal spirit, not in a good sense? Is that the spirit of the church? And so for you as a church, I'm really challenging you here today, and I mean it in love, if you were to test the spirit of your church, what sort of a spirit is it? Is it a spirit which is the spirit of God? The very temperature of the church, is it that of the character of the love of God? And that is what we ought to be aiming for as believers, is to be people who walk in love. And to walk in love does not mean that we simply shut off our senses and that we don't look at the detail of things. It doesn't mean that there's never rebukes. It doesn't mean that we ever don't say that something's wrong, but it ought to be in that of love. And we see how the Lord Jesus Christ was the ultimate example of the love of God. And we see how that the greatest manifestation ever of the love of God in all of the history of mankind, the greatest love act that there ever was and there ever will be, was the fact that God sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins that we could be forgiven. What heathen would ever have heard of a God who would come and die for him? The heathen gods, self-centered, very selfish, very much thinking of themselves, full of the fleshly appetites blown out of proportion, but not so our God. So different from the gods of the Hindus, so very different to Buddha, so very different to the character of such an one as the Prophet Muhammad of Islam, the false Prophet Muhammad, should I say. So what heathen would have ever heard of a God who would die for him? And is every one of you aware of that tonight, that Christ, one of the third persons of the Trinity, God himself, died for you? Got a friend who got saved and he always knew that Jesus Christ was the Saviour of the world, but he never realised that Jesus Christ was his personal Saviour. And have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Because if ever you are to walk in love as God wants us to, you must first have experienced this love of God in receiving his gift of salvation. And if you've never been saved, you've never truly experienced the love of God, you've never known the love of God permeating your heart and life, and you've never been able to truly walk in love, No matter how hard you try, no matter what you've tried to do, you have never been able to truly walk in love because you have never known Christ as your Saviour. You've never experienced the cleansing of the precious blood of Christ, and you've never known His presence in your life. You cannot have true love or walk in the love of God without God Himself. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? And you know, you heard of the gospel, no doubt most of you, if not all of you, how that our Lord Jesus came to earth. He was born of a virgin, lived a completely sinless life, tempted in all points like we were, but yet without sin. And we know how that He went to the cross and was willing to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine. And yes, I said your sin because you are all sinners and so am I. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ had to die. If the whole world was perfect, He would have had to come for me. And if I was perfect in the rest of the world, He would have had to come for each one of you, if one of you were the only one. But all mankind are dead in trespasses and sins. And that is why the Lord Jesus came, was that He could die and be that blood sacrifice. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that was meaning that He was the only way. There was no other way, not through any religion, not through any church, not through any religious leader, but only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even through a religious experience such as speaking in tongues, but through the precious blood of Christ. When we see that, God, I am a sinner, there is nothing I can do to save myself. Just as we saw this morning when we read there in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God won't accept us on any basis of our own merits, of our own goodness, but only when we come to Him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Not whether we've said all the right words in our prayer when we called upon the Lord, but just like the thief that was hanging on the cross, you said, God, said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And have you been saved? Have you known the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? To have come to church, to have read the Bible, to have studied religion, there's not enough. Have you known the Saviour, the Lord Jesus? Before you can ever walk in love, you must first be saved. So here we see verses 1 and 2. We see in verse 2 how we are to walk in love. But it goes on verse 3. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So here we get to some practicalities of what of the way that Christians ought not to be living. It says fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And we live in a day where people are throwing off moral restraints and they think it's no big deal for a man and a woman to come together and to live together before marriage, or for people just to meet up and to be in sin for a short period of time and then leave again. And people will say, this is my right, I've got the right to do this. I've got the right to find someone and just to do whatever I like, that's my right. No, it's not. Fornication is sin. Whether it be inward like adultery, or whether it be outwardly, that's sin. And that sort of a thing should never ever be once heard of in a Christian. And it's a tragedy when we hear of Christians and people even in leadership which have gone down to this sort of sin. But yet it should not be once named among us which become saints. That should not be heard of in Christianity. Or uncleanness, covetousness. Maybe the covetousness would be one of the more acceptable sins that people wouldn't see such an issue with. Maybe people wouldn't bow down and worship idols, but how many of them almost bow down and worship their bank account? Or desiring to have things which they ought never to have. And you know, God is a God where He allows people to work in industry and even to accumulate wealth. We see in the scriptures it's God that gives us the ability to get wealth. But covetousness, it should never ever be known of a Christian to have somebody to say, he is a covetous person. He is a person that desires what he ought not to have. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Foolish talking, that which is of no profit. No profit in it. And sometimes we can have all kinds of conversations about different things, and it's nice to talk about a multitude of different things. But can we always, when we walk away from some of our conversations, could we ask the question and say, was there any profit in that? Has that been good for anything? Has it built someone up? Has it actually helped me? Has it helped someone else? Or was it basically to no profit, just basically vanity and foolishness, and there was no good to it, but just simply a waste of time? Foolish talking, or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verses 5, 6, for this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So we see here that a person who lives this kind of lifestyle, someone who is a whoremonger or covetous, an idolater, those types of people who live that way by their lifestyle and by their practice, that is evidence that those people are not saved. If that person has never had a change in their life to where God has given them new desires to want to do that which is clean and that which is holy and that which is different, that person's not saved. Has there ever been a change in your life? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Has there been a change in your life? And a lot of people mix it up. They try and do good things before they get saved. It's the other way around. Once we're saved, that's when God gives us the power to do those things that we couldn't do before. So someone who lives this way, by habit and by practice, has never been saved and needs to be. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know, the Bible says fools make a mock at sin. Fools who just make a mock at sin and say it's no big problem. And maybe you hear that in the workplace when some people hear one of the blokes say about bad imagery on the internet. Oh, it's only on the internet. It's still wrong. It's still sin. And people try and play things down as though it's not real bad. I remember seeing one of these wicked places there in Sydney and the sign saying, just for fun. In other words, dumb your conscience down. Do that which is wicked. Just for fun. No, it's wickedness and it's sin. And you know, Christians ought not to have a light view of what sin is. God does not have a light view of what sin is. God is a holy God. God hates sin. God's angry with the wicked. And Christians ought not to take a light, easy, laissez-faire approach to sin. And you know, I'm not saying that when someone sins that we don't try to help that person. The ultimate goal with church discipline is restoration of a person, to try and help that person and get that person back on track. In love, we do that. But someone sins and, oh, everyone throws out all these cushions. Oh, you know, oh, the poor person that sinned, and someone's trying to take a stand for righteousness and they get treated worse for trying to do that which is right. And that's wrong. And Christians need to, by the grace of God, have the mind of Christ. And as they're walking in love, have their minds, by the grace of God, in gear, and have some wisdom, and take a stand against that which is wrong in this world. The world's full of people who are quite happy just to take the easy road, to never make a stand for what's right. To just say, oh, well, you know, oh, everyone's different. That's the way you do it, and this is the way I do it, and all that sort of politically correct fluff. But Christians ought to be different, and don't let people deceive you into thinking that sin is not an issue or that sin is not a problem, because it is. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, talking about being whoremongers and being covetous and being idolaters, talking about all these things, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Sin brings about the wrath of God. And God sends people to hell for all of eternity because of sin. And Christians ought never to go back into their old life of sin. but by the grace of God have Christ living within them to be able to walk in love and to be able to have a different kind of practice in their lives once they are saved. Don't go for this modern Christianity where they say, oh, look, just don't worry about all the details, just love each other. Don't worry about dress code, don't worry about music, don't worry about a lot of things. Don't worry if people go to the pub, don't worry if people are drinking alcohol as Christians, all that. So don't worry about all that, just love each other. No, if you're going to walk in love, it should be a higher spiritual standard by the grace of God. Sin brings about the wrath of God. And what a fearful thing it would be if you were not saved to fall in the hands of a God of wrath. It says verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. So don't join in it. Don't join in with the world's way of doing things. And people and Christians ought not to begin to follow the practices of the world. And to go to the work parties and things like that, where they know they're going to be in an area where they could compromise their spiritual lives. We ought not to join in with the filthy talking. We ought not to take in this attitude of covetousness. Take on this attitude of vain words, of vain speech, of foolish talking. All these things. God doesn't want us to join them. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now we go on to our second point. So firstly, walk in love, then walk as children of light. 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And we know that blessed truth there in the Word of God in 1 John, where it says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And light there typifying the Lord and saying how that there is no darkness in him at all. There's no moral imperfections in God. There's no moral imperfections. There's no evil, no wickedness, no conniving sinfulness in God. But God is completely and totally pure. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And then, as once we are saved, we ought to be walking in the light, walk as children of light. And we know that scripture there in 1 John says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So when we do revert back to the old life at times, and when we do sin, we can come back and we can tell our Father about it, and we can know the cleansing of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 7, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather approve them. There we can see some separation, can't we? And we live in a day, as we've sort of touched on already, where there's all of this ecumenical movement and a sweeping in of all kinds of churches, and doesn't really matter about what sort of standing they have, doesn't matter what they say, it doesn't matter what people believe about the Word of God, or someone's got this belief, someone believes that Genesis shouldn't be in the Bible, another one believes that Revelation shouldn't be there, someone's off on prophecy, and someone else is here, there, and everywhere, someone's believing in Calvinism, someone's believing something else, and they sweep it all in, and even it goes even further to where they're sweeping entire religions in. And there's such a thing called Chrislam, and they're trying to bring together something two things so diametrically opposed as Christianity and Islam, and trying to bring them together. But no, we ought to be separate as believers. It ought to be separation and not have any fellowship with that which is wicked, unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12, it says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And we see here, when we are speaking about things or speaking about that which is sinful, how it's about to shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So I suppose we could say, don't go into detail about that which is wicked. And it's not always a good thing, even for preachers, to go into gross detail about sin. And it becomes defiling to those who are hearing and defiling to himself. And we ought not to go into all the nitty-gritties and the details about that which is wicked if it's not necessary to do so. Because it's a shame even to speak of those things. And we see how the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, is a good example here in the book of Ephesians. When he's speaking about the sins of these peoples, he gives the broad outline of what they of these sins, but he doesn't go into all of the dark details about them. Don't go into details about that which is wicked. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It says, but all things that are approved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Next, walk circumspectly, verse 15. Walk in love, walk as children of light, walk circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And walking circumspectly has this idea of guarding, and to walk circumspectly, we ought to be ones which guard ourselves against temptation. So to go to the pub for a counter meal is not walking circumspectly. To carry a mobile phone in your pocket with access to whatever you want on the internet without any kind of filtering protection, that's not walking circumspectly. Just to go wherever you want to go, where your eyes might get hit with all kinds of filth, that's not walking circumspectly. Ought to be a diligence there, a guarding against that which is evil. Walk circumspectly, not as fools as well as redeeming the time, because the days are evil. There's a lot that could be said there about our time. We know that our life is but a vapor. It appears for a short time and it's gone. And how we want all of our lives to be spent for the Lord in the right sense. Whether it be in ministry, whether it be in family life, whether it be in marriage, or all these different things. And how we ought to guard what pursuits we go into in life. Walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we can, if you had 1,000 lives to live, you could fill them with all kinds of pursuits. You could, really. And you know, you could even, if you had 1,000 lives, you could spend them all in pursuits which are really quite morally good pursuits, such as medical aid or whatever, things like that, which might actually be very good things in a lot of ways. But is that really what God wanted you to do? And we only have one life, and how we need to guard against wasting our lives on things which will never really have much of a eternal benefit to us or to others. And we know that we have many different things that God has us to do. You think about, looking at the man's role. He's got to be a father to his children. He's got to be a husband to his wife. He's got to be a provider. If he's in ministry, he's got to be a pastor or a deacon or something like that. There's a lot of different things that has to be done. Has to be a worker, all those sorts of things. And so, but we need to be doing what it is that God wants us to do. So when it comes to making a plan about taking this career or doing that or starting a business or whatever it be, is that what God wants for you? Is that what God wants you to do? And if God wants you to start a business, we'll go start a business. But not just merely because we want to. Need to take things to God in prayer and say, God, is this what you want for me? Is this what you want me to do? And have the Lord guide us and into his perfect will. Verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, it's a comfort that God wants us to know what his will is. God wants us to understand what he wants us to do. And how God can lead us and he can guide us. And you know, if you're not sure what the next step is in the will of God, keep doing what God wants you to do now. Find out what the broad aspects of what God wants you to do are in the Word of God, how he wants you to live, and then let God sort out the particulars step by step as you follow him. God has his perfect timing and way. It's often us which are in a hurry. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's not speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So very quite simply, we see there in verse 18, God doesn't want Christians to be drunk. Not be drunk at all. And being drunk with wine, wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit. So we see the two opposite extremes. Rather than being filled with alcohol, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And a Christian ought never to be caught out in drunkenness. And then we can say also about walking circumspectly. Like that's why you wouldn't go somewhere like a pub or a work dinner where you know there's going to be alcohol everywhere. If you stay away from it, it's going to be a lot less of a chance that you're going to be caught in the sin of drunkenness. But how drunk do you have to be drunk? You know, it's not a great percentage someone has to have drunk before the RTA are going to find you, before the police are going to find you. It's not a great deal, so they can see it. Some Christians seem to struggle to, you know, with the whole aspect of having an occasional glass. Having an occasional glass of wine or of alcohol, beer, is not walking circumspectly. That's not walking circumspectly. You imagine if there was a door right here, and if you imagine the door being wide open, that's drunkenness. And we say, no, that's wrong. You know, Christians shouldn't be drunk. Okay? But they say it's okay for a Christian to have an occasional glass. What have they done? They've just opened the door to drunkenness. Don't touch it, you won't get drunk. And a Christian ought not to get in there. There's a whole other study there on the subject of alcohol. But the overall, what you see from Scripture, Christians just should not touch it and should just stay right away from intoxicating beverages. Speaking to yourselves, so be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, we don't need things like alcohol. Christians don't need it. And we now have the Spirit of God once we're saved. And when some Christians were to go home, they probably feel like, oh, I've had a hard day, and probably to get myself through, I might just have a bit of a drink of something. Rather than doing that, how about going to your room, getting on your knees and saying, Lord, I feel wretched, I feel empty, I've had a hard day. Lord, will you just renew me and fill me with your Holy Spirit? And that'll wow. And if no God's presence working in your life, that's far more than any rotten beverage can do for you. And how we ought to do that, not to rely on things like that. Try to rely on things like that rather than relying on God. Stay away from it. And then speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And when we know the joy of the Lord, we're going to be more likely to want to praise him, aren't we? And we don't need that other stuff. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray, shall we? Father, this whole aspect of walking is something that's so impossible to us, it's so foreign to our old man, our old nature. But thank you, Lord, that you have helped us, Father, that you are there to help us. Lord, thank you you've dealt with our self-life. Help us to day by faith, put off the old man when we come and we're faced with temptations, Lord. Help us to be a loving Christians, Father, who walk in love. Christians who are permeated by the love of God. And Lord, may we just know your presence, Lord. May we walk as children of light, Lord, to be light in this world and salt, Father. And also to walk in a way which is circumspect, Father, to guard our lives, our Christian lives, our walks with you, truly viewing it for what it is, the most precious thing that we have in this entire world, Father. Pray that you'd enable us to this end, Lord. We can't do this, walk this supernatural walk except by your grace. So we ask for your blessings there, for your help there. If there be any here, Lord, still who do not yet know is their Saviour, I pray, Father, that you would work in their hearts this night, Father. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.